He came upon another, much larger, three-dimensional screen that was monitoring the outside of this vast silver Zaxxition ship. As he watched, a thousand horribly beweaponed Zerzler robot star cruisers came searing round the dark shadow of a moon, silhouetted against the blinding disk of the star's axis, and the ship simultaneously unleashed a vicious blaze of hideously incomprehensible forces from all its orifices against them. That was it. Ford shook his head irritably and rubbed his eyes. He slumped on the wrecked body of a dull silver robot which clearly had been burning earlier on, but had now cooled down enough to sit on. He yawned and dug his copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy out of his satchel. He activated the screen and flicked idly through some level 3 entries and some level 4 entries. He was looking for some good insomnia cures. He found rest, which was what he reckoned he needed. He found rest and recuperation, and was about to pass on when he suddenly had a better idea. He looked up at the monitor screen. The battle was raging more fiercely every second, and the noise was appalling. The ship juddered, screamed, and lurched as each new bolt of stunning energy was delivered or received. He looked back down at the guide again and flipped through a few likely locations. He suddenly laughed and then rummaged in his satchel again. He pulled out a small memory dump module, wiped off the fluff and biscuit crumbs, and plugged it into an interface on the back of the guide. When all the information that he could think was relevant had been dumped into the module, he unplugged it again, tossed it lightly in the palm of his hand, put the guide away in his satchel, smirked, and went in search of the ship's computer databanks. Chapter 20.
"The purpose of having the sun go low in the evenings, in the summer, especially in parks," said the voice earnestly, "is to make girls' breasts bob up and down more clearly to the eye. I am convinced that this is the case."
Arthur and Fenchurch giggled about this to each other as they passed. She hugged him more tightly for a moment.
"And I'm certain," said the frizzy, ginger-haired youth with the long, thin nose, who was expostulating from his deck chair by the side of the Serpentine, "that if one worked the argument through, one would find that it flowed with perfect naturalness and logic from everything,"
he insisted to his thin, dark-haired companion, who was slumped in the next-door deck chair, feeling dejected about his spots,
"that Darwin was going on about. This is certain. This is indisputable. And," he added, "I love it."
He turned sharply and squinted through his spectacles at Fenchurch. Arthur steered her away and could feel her silently quaking. "Next guest," she said, when she had stopped giggling. "Come on." "All right," he said. "Your elbow, your left elbow. There's something wrong with your left elbow." "Wrong again," she said. "Completely wrong. You're on completely the wrong track." The summer sun was sinking through the trees in the park, looking as if... Let's not mince words. Hyde Park is stunning. Everything about it is stunning, except for the rubbish on Monday mornings. Even the ducks are stunning. Anyone who can go through Hyde Park on a summer's evening and not feel moved by it is probably going through in an ambulance with a sheet pulled over their face. It is a park in which people do more extraordinary things than they do elsewhere. Arthur and Fenchurch found a man in shorts practicing the bagpipes to himself under a tree. The piper paused to chase off an American couple who had tried timidly to put some coins on the box his bagpipes came in. "No!" he shouted at them. "Go away! I'm only practicing!" He started resolutely to reinflate his bag, but even the noise this made could not disfigure their mood. Arthur put his arms around her and moved them slowly downwards. "I don't think it can be your bottom," he said after a while. "There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with that at all." "Yes," she agreed, "there's absolutely nothing wrong with my bottom." They kissed for so long that eventually the piper went and practiced on the other side of the tree. "I'll tell you a story," said Arthur.
"Good."
They found a patch of grass which was relatively free of couples actually lying on top of each other, and sat and watched the stunning ducks and the low sunlight rippling on the water which ran beneath the stunning ducks. "A story," said Fenchurch, cuddling his arm to her,
"which will tell something of the sort of things that happened to me."
"It's absolutely true," said Arthur.
"You know, sometimes people tell you stories that are supposed to be something that happened to their wife's cousin's best friend, but actually probably got made up somewhere along the line. Well, it's like one of those stories, except that it actually happened, and I know it actually happened, because the person it actually happened to was me."
"Like the raffle ticket," said Fenchurch. Arthur laughed.
"Yes. I had a train to catch," he went on. "I arrived at the station..."
"Did I ever tell you," interrupted Fenchurch, "what happened to my parents at a station?"
"Yes," said Arthur, "you did.
Just checking." Arthur glanced at his watch.
"I suppose we could think of getting back," he said.
"Tell me the story," said Fenchurch firmly. "You arrived at the station."
I was about 20 minutes early, said Arthur. I'd got the time of the train wrong. I suppose it's at least equally possible, he added after a moment's reflection, that British Rail had got the time of the train wrong. Hadn't occurred to me before. Get on with it, Fenchurch laughed. So I bought a newspaper to do the crossword and went to the buffet to get a cup of coffee. You do the crossword? Yes. Which one? The Guardian, usually. I think it tries to be too cute. I prefer the Times. Did you solve it? What? The crossword and the Guardian. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, said Arthur. I'm still trying to buy the coffee. All right, then, buy the coffee. I'm buying it. I'm also, said Arthur, buying some biscuits. What sort? Rich tea. Good choice. I like them. Laden with all these new possessions, I go and sit at a table. And don't ask me what the table was like, because this is some time ago and I can't remember. It was probably round. All right. End of side 5.